Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word. Please join us now as we hear a message from Pastor Toledo.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Indeed, he is everything we need. How many would say amen? That's so good. That's a perfect introduction to the message today. If everyone could open their Bible to Psalm 23, we are finishing up a series that we've been on titled Rest. The title of the series is Rest, and the Lord wants us to be at rest and to live in spiritual rest. And we've covered two messages so far. Today is going to be the last one. And it's very clear how these layers of rest build upon each other. But before we get into that, I want to just recap a couple definitions. We covered more of this in the first message, and you can go back to it. But rest is unique in the biblical sense because rest is possessing the peace, blessing, and victory that God has promised to his people. Everyone look at me for a second, okay? When I say rest, when you figure rest, if you say to your friend, I'm going to go home and rest, the image that is conjured up in their mind and most likely in your mind is, I'm going home to sit down, relax, lay down, catch a nap, to chill out, okay? However, in the New Testament, when God talked about entering into his rest, it didn't mean just sleep. Although, how many love a good nap? Not for nothing, I love a good nap. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about in what God is saying here about resting is it was that they would go into the promised land and they would experience peace and blessing and victory because God says, I'm going to give all of this to you. So rest, Alexander McLaren talked about the fact that rest in the biblical sense, and this is all over the book of Hebrews as well, rest in the biblical sense is not ceasing from activity. It's actually stepping into the fullness of the blessing of God that he has for you, but doing it in a state of rest. So now the other side of it is rest is a special type of faith that enables us to be in pressure and conflict and still remain calm and at peace. So that's what we're talking about here, and we're going to read the text in a moment, but so far we've covered two. And in the first message was rest in his provision. Okay? When the Bible says the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, that's the King James, or I lack nothing. What that means is don't worry because I will take care of you. How many would say amen? Amen. He promises to take care of us. He is the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The first layer of this rest is learning to trust that God is going to provide for us, and he's faithful to provide, and therefore we are not to worry. Everyone say, don't worry. Of course, because the good shepherd will take care of us. Then secondly, we rest in his process, because in this life we go from glory to glory, from strength to strength. He leads us in different places. He takes us. We don't even understand where the Lord wants to take us. We may have started in a place of brokenness. They started in Egypt, but he wanted them to go from Egypt into the promised land. You see, but there's a process, and we talked about the fact that we have to rest in his process. And what that means is don't resist. Everyone say don't resist. When God is trying to work in your life, when God is trying to get at something, and he's trying to lead you in a specific and a particular way, don't resist. That's the second layer. And that is, there's a maturing that comes when you learn how to say, God, I know you got this. I may not always like it, but Lord, I know that all things work together for my good. That's what your word says. And then today, we're going to address the third layer, which is rest in his protection. Rest in his protection, which basically is saying, don't run. Everyone say, don't run. That's right, don't run. Don't run from the battles. Don't run from the challenges. Don't run from the struggles. God is our shepherd. God is with us. God is our protector. And we can rest in his protection. And so we're going to talk about that today. And let's read the text first, and then we're going to get into this. So the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Everyone say nothing. Okay, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Okay, that's why we can trust in his provision. It says he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. This is the process of God. This is the process of God. He refreshes our soul. You could be here today. Look at me for a second. You could be here broken, discouraged, depressed, hurting. We've been watching this for years. And I mentioned this the last time we preached about this. The Holy Spirit wants to minister to you. The Holy Spirit wants to refresh your soul. You didn't come in here to hear a preacher today or a choir. You know why? Because that doesn't do anything for you. What you came here for is to receive from the Spirit of the living God. How many would say amen? Amen. That's what God does. And it's awesome. It's awesome that we have this opportunity to receive from God. It says, he guides me along the right paths for his namesake. That is the process that we just mentioned. And then here we go. Now the next verses are the focus of the day. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, let's read these five words. Ready? I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Let's keep going. You prepare a table. Now, when we get to this today, I want you to know that this is a fantastic, radical statement. We know this psalm very well, but this is radical. This is kind of a crazy statement, but it's powerful, and I want to embrace the fullness of this. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, we're going to pray, but let me say this. Resting in God's provision and process is about us and God. Resting in his provision and process is about us and God. But resting in his protection is about us, God, and the enemy. Resting in the protection of God is about us, God, and the enemy. There is an enemy that wars against our soul. The thief comes to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. The devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, searching for whom he may devour. This message today, this verse today, is talking about how we rest when it's us, God, and the enemy. And people don't like conflict. People avoid for years. There are people that have not fulfilled their destiny. They've not stepped into the perfect, powerful, good, pleasing, and perfect will of God because they are afraid of conflict. And God says, I want you to learn to rest in my protection. The posture of the Christian should be a courageous posture. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In other words, you could be a Christian and your posture, and you can tell when someone's spirit is courageous And when someone's spirit is fearful and broken, so some people, their spirit is like this, not arrogant. We're not talking about arrogance. We're talking about courage, okay? When David said, hey, who is this guy? Who is this guy talking about God like that? You understand? That was courage. That wasn't arrogance. So your spirit can be like that, or your spirit could be like this today. Even today, your spirit could be like that. How many know that's not God's will? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. He does not want you to avoid conflict, because through conflict, we enter into great blessing. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this day and thank you for this time together. Lord, I just pray that you would breathe upon this service, the remainder of this service, God. And Lord, I just ask that you would touch every heart here. God, I pray that you would make this day like a new day in you. So move by the power of the Holy Spirit. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come. Oh, Lord, and God, we want to walk out different than when we came in. So, God, would you today, Lord, would you enable us to partake of that table that you promised to spread for us? Let us be fed, let us eat, let us be blessed and transformed for your glory and for your honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, so now, in these couple of verses that we're going to be looking at, there are two exhortations of sorts. There are two exhortations that God is giving to us so that we could rest in his protection. The first one is rest in his protection against fear. Rest in his protection against fear. Okay? The Bible says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will, everyone, fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Rest in his protection against fear. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, some translations say the valley of the shadow of death, it says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So this is saying we are not going to give in to fear. What is fear? Fear is to be worried, anxious, or afraid of someone or something. Okay, it's being focused on an unknown danger. We put so much energy into the unknown. We put so much stress into what's gonna happen. Okay, and God is saying that we are called to rest in his protection and not give in to worry, anxiety, or fear, because he's with us. My wife was speaking at a conference, and God gave her this acronym, I think is what it's called. The way to define fear is, it's feelings that emerge against reason. It's feelings that emerge against reason. Why do we say that? I'll tell you why we say that. Because if God is with us and if God is for us, then what? Then who can be against us? How many know that God is with us and that is a fact? Can I get an amen? That is a fact. God is with us. He's with us. That is a fact. That is reasonable. That is logical. Okay, God is more real than any circumstance that you and I could have. How many would say amen to that? And so there are feelings that rise up against reason, against the reality of who God is, against his character, against his nature, against his promise. And so that is what fear is, and God is saying, listen, I want you to rest when it comes to the unknown. You see, rest according to this passage, rest doesn't have to see to rest. This kind of rest doesn't have to know to rest. And this kind of rest doesn't have to be sheltered to rest. Rest is faith in the protection of God. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, how many know when you're in the darkest valley, you can't see? But you don't have to see to rest in his protection. How many would say amen? If God is with you, how many know he's got it all covered? Okay, rest doesn't have to know. Some people don't realize how much of a control freak they really are. How many know when we're in the flesh and when we're not in the spirit, we become control freaks? We want to be in charge of everything, and that is the opposite of the faith life. The faith life is not in charge of everything. The faith life can't control everything and know everything. The faith life praises God and rests in the fact that even though we don't know, he knows. Even though we can't see, he sees. And there's a practicality to this, guys. I'm telling you, there's a pragmatism to what I'm talking about. You have to make a choice to rest when you don't know. You have to make a decision to rest when you don't know. This is what faith is. Here's another thing. Rest doesn't have to be sheltered in order to rest. Okay, the imagery is that he's outside and he's vulnerable to the elements and of nature, to the animals and to whatever was going on wherever he was. And you can still rest even though you're not perfectly protected. This is what God is saying. God is saying to stop living by your senses. I touch this, I taste this, I feel this. And God is saying, I choose, God, to put my faith in the fact that you are my protector. You see, this is crossing over into really learning how to walk by faith. This is like a different level of walking with God. Coming to church is great, but resting in his protection when you go home, that's a whole different ballgame. And you have to make a decision to believe God and to not run from the challenges and the difficulties. God has not called us to be cowards. You could have a personal problem in your life or some difficulties. How many know God has not called us to be cowards? He's called us to say, God, you got my life covered. My life is in your hands. This is a very important thing for us to understand. Rest is faith in the protection of God. Now, here's what we know about the shepherd, and this is why we can rest when it comes to the unknown or what we can't see or a lack of shelter. The Bible says here that God has a twofold readiness to protect his sheep. He has a twofold readiness. I have one of the brothers in our church. He doesn't come here anymore. He lives so far. He lives far in Indiana, and he's got property, pulled this out of his yard, and he shellacked this for me, and this is very cool. We use this for counseling, all kinds of things we use this for. And actually, he made this one, and then he made me another one. Something just got out of the woods. It was a long stick like this, and it was like a club, kind of like a police club. Do police wear clubs anymore? No, right? When I was a kid, they used to wear these clubs, right? And so it's like a club, and he says, the reason why I know I can rest is because the shepherd is with me and he has his rod and he has his staff. So the way it works, guys, is that the shepherd is walking with the sheep. If an enemy comes to face some of the sheep, the shepherd goes to the front. Everyone say to the front. Okay? The shepherd goes to the front. When you're in trouble, you stay close to Jesus. Jesus goes to the front. The shepherd goes to the front and he has the rod and he has the staff. And if he has to smoke an animal, right? If he has to hit a bear or a wolf, he will do it. He says, God, your rod will comfort me. God will fight against our enemies. The battle, the Bible says, belongs to the Lord. And God fights for us. And that's why we can rest and his protection, because God fights for his people. Now, here's the thing, okay? This is a very practical message. Just because God fights for you doesn't mean that you're not in a fight. Okay? Because God wants us to fight. He wants us to be part of the process, but the shepherd goes before. Here's another thing. He picked this one for a very specific reason. It's the shepherd has a staff like this because sometimes the sheep, they start to drift. And let's say an enemy is coming. He spots an enemy over there, and the sheep starts to go in that direction. What the shepherd does is say, oh, come over here, brother, and he gives them a pull in. How many of us, sometimes the Lord has to give you a tug and pull you back? How many are thankful when the Lord pulls us back? How many say amen? That's what he does. That's what he does. And sometimes God pulls us back, and we're like, oh, God, why you pull me back? He says, because I'm protecting you. That's why. I'm protecting you. You know, it's going to be interesting when we get to heaven, when we talk to the Lord about our lives. So many things that we were grumbling about and all this, it was the Lord going like this to us. All right, pull it back. Pull it back. We got to stay close to God, guys, and let the Lord be in charge of our lives. And when he's in charge of our lives, we can rest in his protection against fear. You don't have to know everything because God knows everything. Amen? So that's the first one. The first exhortation is rest in my protection against fear. And this is a very powerful, powerful thing. Tonight when you go home or tomorrow when you wake up, there will be many, many things that you will not see, will not understand, will not have it all played out. And God is going, it wants you. He's talking to you now. So when that moment comes, you lift up your hands and you say, God, I choose to rest in you, God. I choose to rest in you. Now, think about this. Think about God. Right, there's 7 billion people on the planet, right? The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth, looking to strengthen, right, those whose hearts are fully surrendered to him, committed to him. So watch this. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. So all sorts of stress, difficulty on the earth. And God looks down, and because he's so dialed into us, one person is being attacked with fear. Then they choose to reach out to him in faith. Come on. Don't you think it's like laser lock, boop, 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 right there? Don't you know that pleases God when we believe him? Don't you think that's so wonderful? That's why Psalm 25, verse 2 or 3 says, no one who looks to him will ever be put to shame. You think God is going to allow his reputation to be put down? You think God is going to let one of his children be hurt when we say, God, we believe. Oh, God, we believe. God, I trust you. Man, the shepherd is right there, guys. Put it into practice. Everyone say, put it into practice. That's right. Put it into practice. Worry is one of those things. Fear is one of those things that plagues the people of God, but nobody sees it. Nobody sees it, but it's really going on. And God sees it, and it hurts his heart when we're afraid. Now, the second exhortation is rest in his protection against our enemies. If the musicians could come, and if the singers could get ready. This is fantastic and unique. Because it says, you prepare a table before me, everyone say this with me, presence of my enemies. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Okay, now leave that there for a second. This is a very unique thing that we're talking about here. You know, I was like, Lord, no one sets the battle lines and then breaks out a picnic. But that's what this is saying. This is saying that it doesn't matter what's going on. The only thing I heard this story. My son was in my son was in the Dominican Republic for about 4 months. He was there at a baseball academy, did a little bit of missions work too. It's a great experience for him during his high school years. And it was big time baseball. One academy would play another academy. And he called me one day, because we used to Skype a lot. He called me one day and said, "Dad, you would not believe." He said, "This place is a trip, Dad." So you would not believe what happened. He says, "So we were playing against this other academy. And while we were playing this other academy, we were taking it to them. We were bombing them. It was like we were taking the lead. It was about the third inning. And at the end of the third inning, I grabbed my glove and I started to run out to the field after out number three. I'm running out to the field and I'm like the only one going out. And I'm like, what's going on here? It's the third inning, right? And so what happened is all of a sudden, he said, "Dad, I never saw anything like it. They pulled out this big pot of rice and beans, like right in the middle of the game. And they just started to eat, like they chowing down both teams, like steak and pork chops, pernil." I was like, he's like, "Dad, only in Santo Domingo do they do this stuff." It's like, "This is crazy, Dad. It was crazy, you know?" I was like, "Man, those Dominicans know how to do it right there." Isn't that kind of crazy? Right? That's how crazy this verse is. You know what this verse is saying? This verse is saying, you're so worried about the presence of your enemy. And here's what I do. Your enemy is right there, and I put out a table, and I put out a feast for you. I put out a feast for you. Okay, and I want to talk about that. But here's the key. Here's why this can actually happen. The reason that this can happen is because the presence of the enemy is always trumped by the presence of God. Could we get an amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. When the presence of God comes on the scene, okay, Satan has to flee. Satan has to bow. Okay, this is one of the reasons why when you read in the Gospels, when Jesus would come, right? When Jesus would come, you know what the demons would start doing? They would start screaming, "Son of David, Son of God, you've come to torture us." When Jesus comes on the scene, I mean, do you realize what was going on? These people are demon-possessed. These demons were destroying them, but Jesus comes on, they forget about what they're doing. They say, "Please don't torture us. Let us go into the pigs. Let us go to the bottom of the lake. No, God, no, Lord." How many know? Every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? The presence of God, the presence of God always trumps the presence of the enemy. When God shows up, there is no one else. And so, let's look at what he's saying here. There's three things that he's saying here. First of all, he actually feeds us in the presence of the enemy. God doesn't want you to be knocking in your knees and shaking just because you're facing conflict or war. God actually says, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to feed you through this. I'm going to feed you. You're going to be stronger." How do you know when you eat, you get strong? When you eat, you get strong. God says, "Here, eat. Here, eat. Get stronger through this battle. Confront that thing. But while you're confronting it, just chill because I'm making you stronger." Secondly, he anoints us in the presence of the enemy. And that word anoint means to be shown favor. It means to be made prosperous. To be made prosperous. That's what that word literally means. It means to be made prosperous, which means God doesn't waste the battles that you and I fight. If they're holy, sacred battles, if you're fighting the fight of faith, if you're doing the right thing and honoring God and you're in a battle, God is going to prosper you through the battle. Remember, rest is not staying still. Rest is saying, I'm going to take the land that God has for me, and I'm going to step into the land that's flowing with milk and honey, grapes, blessing. That's what he wants to do, even though you fight. There's blessing, prosperity. The word anointing means to be made fat. It means that you become like this in God, even in the presence of the enemy. I think that's a pretty radical way to look at your next fight. Your next fight, God wants to use to actually prosper you. That's why the Bible says all things work together for the good of those who have been called according to his purpose, those who love him. Then here's the last thing, and this is amazing to me. It really is. This is amazing to me. The enemy is forced to watch. The enemy is forced to watch. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was here a couple weeks ago. He said, oh, when you get to the third one, I heard a sermon. So I'm kind of ripped this off of somebody, but it's good. He said, I heard a message on the verse about prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. And he said, you know how the guy started the sermon? He started the sermon by saying, you know he has to watch you, don't you? You know, the only thing he can do is watch. How do you know when the shepherd is there and God wants to bless you? How do you know the only thing the devil can do is, everyone, is watch? Could we praise God? Hallelujah. And that's why I'm going to say one more quick thing to sum this up, and then we're going to pray. But that's why it's important that we look. We take a real look at our lives and how good and faithful God has been. This past week, I met with a kind of a mentor of mine, spiritual dad, so to speak. I've known him for over 20 years. He's been walking with me in this journey. He's been a chief counselor, and we talked about a time about turning points in life, and then we kind of charted them out. And when we did that, I was looking at it and saying, oh my goodness, when you look back on your life, there have been a lot of battles. It's like, wow. Battle here, battle here, battle here, battle here, battle here. How many know what I'm talking about? Oh, I'm the only one, right? Amazing, battle, 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 battle. But here's the amazing thing. When you look back on those battles, you remember, man, I was in this place, but I came out of that so blessed. I was in this place, but I came out of that so blessed. You know, I'm looking down at my sister Alexis. Yeah, how many remember when the market just totally crashed, the real estate market crashed? Alexis's top real estate agent, one of the tops in this city, and things went so difficult for her. I mean, everything was so hard on her. And I remember the way she handled it. And I literally watched God grow her into more of a woman of God. And there were threats to her business and threats to her home and threats to this and threats to that and the government and taxes and this and that. Because, I mean, the market went from one place to another. It was just... And you know what? She sought God and sought God. I'm telling you, I watched this. That's why when she was praying here, let me tell you, there's real life behind that prayer that she prayed. And I remember watching Alexis. And I remember she told me one day she was in her house. And while she was in her house seeking God, the Spirit of God fell on her. And she began to speak in tongues, praying a different language. The Holy Spirit was giving her a prayer and a depth of prayer that she had never known before. And it was amazing. And thread after thread after thread. But listen, time went on. Nothing was lost. She's been blessed. She's doing better than ever. But the thing is she's stronger on the inside than she's ever been. How many know you may go through battles, but God will take care of you and he will bless you and prosper you all the way through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, the only thing that God is after, what's most important to God, is your faith. It's your faith. Your faith is more precious than pure gold, the Bible says. Your house, this, that, all of those things that we make so much of, God has it all under control. But he allows us to go through battles so that we could strengthen our faith. In the early, I picked someone else in the earlier service, Rigo, who was in a truck accident, and he was literally twisted like a pretzel. And he woke, he kind of came to in the middle, just when the accident happened, when he came to, and he looked over and his leg was twisted. And we're talking about a guy who they said, he's going to die, he's not going to walk, he's going to be paralyzed, he's going to be this, he's going to be that. They just did surgery on him and they told him, listen, Rigo, we're going to do this surgery and then you're not going to be able to walk for about a year. Okay? When Rigo was twisted in the back of that truck, he prayed and he said, God, my life is in your hands. He said, my life is in your hands, God. And he said that the Spirit of God came to him and he didn't really feel pain. He said, the Lord was like a fence around him. There is a peace that surpasses all understanding. It doesn't make sense what God does by his Spirit. So listen, they take the cast off. You see that space? The reason there's no chair there is because he was sitting there. He comes with different things. Sometimes he does come with a wheelchair, like he's got a whole host of contraptions and whatnot. And he's sitting right there earlier. And they said to him, okay, well, it's going to be a year. They come, they take their cast off. The doctor looks at it. If I get the story right, the doctor practically started jumping up and down. He was like, your leg is bending in a way. Your leg is not supposed to be doing this or that. Well, that day, which was like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, they gave him a walk and he started to walk. How many know when Jesus says walk, you will walk? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Jesus says walk, you will walk. When he says live, you will live. When he says stand up, you will stand up because he said that. Doesn't matter where you are right now, rest in his protection. Make the decision. Make the decision. Say, God, everything is crazy, but what's most important to you is my faith. He wants to nourish us in the midst of our conflict. And we'll close with this. He wants to make us prosperous through the process of conflict. And God promises to back the enemy down while our cup overflows. How many will say amen? Amen. Come on, everyone. Hallelujah. This is what he wants to do. He wants us to go from the most difficult places, the hardest places. You know, it's kind of like this, and we're going to close. I learned this early on in the ministry, and I remember experiencing it and saying, oh, snap, Lord. Well, you could be so under an assault, But instead of running to your friends, instead of running to your old sin, do you know a lot of times we run to our sin? You know why we run to our sin? Because that becomes the cheap substitute, the cheap relief. You know, we run to our old habits. You know, we run to this one and that one. You know, uncle, aunt. Instead of running to God. And you can run to God. And you can go down one way in your spirit. And the Bible says if we abide in the shadow of the Almighty, how many know He's going to protect us? We can go into the shadow. He could put His wings around us. And we could go down one way and we get up another. And we're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Well, what happened? I just got with God. I just drew close to God today. Okay? I know that He's going to change the outward circumstances. But it doesn't matter. Right now, I'm resting in His protection. The promise is that as He prepares all of those things in the presence of our enemy, it says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And we're going to pray right now, God, bring them into Your goodness and love like never before. Come on, everyone in the building, pray to the left and to the right. This is biblical. It's biblical to open your mouth and pray for someone. My sister, my brother, God, bring them. Fulfill Your promise. Fulfill Your promise, God. Goodness and love, God. Fulfill Your promise. Goodness and love. Fulfill that promise. If You said it, You will do it. Fulfill the promise. Bring them into goodness. Bring them into love by Your mighty power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Release Your blessing over Your people, oh God. No weapon formed against us will prosper, but You will prosper us, O God. Father, we thank You. Thank You for Psalm 23. Thank You, Lord, for the many layers of promise that are in that psalm. And God, I pray that as we walk from this place, God, that we would continue to walk in Your rest. Mature us, God. God, that when we face that challenge, perhaps this evening, tomorrow, God, equip us even now so that we will take a position of rest. So bless Your people now as we go. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength. We choose to believe. We choose to trust. We choose to rest, oh God. Thank You for this time. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.